I'm Zachary Turner. When the lights went out in Western North Carolina, communication between community members was set back decades. Meanwhile, their loved ones out east and in other states struggled to sift through a worldwide web of information to keep their families and friends informed inside the blackout zones. I bring you this report from a grocery store in Boone.
I hope you and your family and friends have all been safe.
Hurricane Helene's floods in western North Carolina cut the region off from the rest of the world. Information about road closures, distribution centers, and police checkpoints traveled by word of mouth.
I heard Capone's was giving free food.
I saw they were cooking pizzas. I know the hospitality house is having a lot of people drop off like cooked food.
Taylor Oakey is a cashier at Earth Fair in Boone. When Oakey's Wi-Fi returned, she got her first look at the devastation outside of town. But that information could only tell her so much.
A lot of people are sharing these pictures of the roads broken up online, but not sharing exact road names and locations. And while those are really helpful, all these broken road pictures go around on the internet and you're not sure like the exact like pinpoint location.
Cell coverage in Boone returned faster than in many other towns. In places like Canton, Silva, and Asheville, a different story played out.
Okay, my friend just texted me from Asheville and I haven't heard from her in a while.
Laurel Roser was in the process of moving from Montana to Asheville when Helene hit last Friday. Her future roommate and many of her friends already lived there.
I had thought the storm wasn't too bad because I had even like talked on the phone with my friend who was texting me just now. And I was like, oh, I guess things are fine. And then like 9 hours later, I get out of my car and I saw all this stuff.
She saw videos of homes floating down rivers and TikToks of floodwaters carrying cars down streets. Sarah Paddock lives in Durham, North Carolina. Her father sent her a video from Silva, a small town outside of Waynesville, around 11:30 a.m. on Friday.
And it was flooding I have never seen before in the area in my lifetime, says someone born and raised in Silva.
After that, she didn't hear from her parents for 24 hours. When they finally did get a signal, it was only along a small section of highway near town.
It was like a 15-second phone call in and out. It was just, hey, we love you, we're okay, house is okay, dogs are okay, don't know when we're going to be able to call again.
Since the storm, at any given moment, you could find a line of cars pulled over with their hazard lights on along that stretch of highway, trying to catch a bar. Even with the spotty coverage, Paddock got to work.
They were just asking me to do research for them to figure out, like, if they needed to get out a week from now and, like, no aid had come, what roads they could take.
Roser, Paddock, and others I talked to fell into a similar role. They were the eye in the sky for their loved ones, providing information about road closures, internet access, and neighboring towns through piecemeal phone calls. Cell service and internet matter more than ever, as most people have ditched landlines and fewer use radios. But how did this happen? In some respects, the answer is easy. The power went out. Hurricane Helene toppled power lines. Over 400,000 are still waiting on power. In the most flooded areas, it may take months to repair damaged substations. Cell towers have backup power, but the fiber optic lines connecting some were damaged, or the generators and batteries were, or the towers washed away. But that answer hasn't satisfied everyone.
We are facing a 21st century storm with 20th century technology.
That's Zeb Smathers, mayor of Canton, a small town 30 minutes west of Asheville.
It has hindered everything, search and rescue, recovery, communication. I'm still getting messages from loved ones looking for their loved ones, not only Canton, but the region, because they can't place a phone call.
I reached out to him Wednesday night, and he said cell phone service is slowly returning to Haywood County, but not because cell towers are up and running. The federal government deployed 67 Starlink satellites, like the one he was using from the police department. There's something surreal about this juxtaposition of old and new technology. While satellites beam down messages from loved ones, pack mules carry supplies up mountains to haulers where roads are impassable to cars. I reached out to Verizon Wireless, T-Mobile, and AT&T, three providers that cover western North Carolina, including Canton. Smathers said that if a town like Canton can make preparations for the storm, then so could big cell providers. In a written statement to WFAE, an AT&T spokesperson said 16% of affected cell sites remain under repair in the southeast. Their team had gathered repair equipment before the storm, and said AT&T had restored wireless service on Saturday. Stacy Tyndall, emergency management director at T-Mobile, said the company had been monitoring the storm a week before it made landfall.
I don't know that anybody could have predicted the level of devastation that Western North Carolina has seen. So I don't want to imply that we knew it was going to be as bad as it is.
When the forecast predicted heavy rains and landslides in Western North Carolina, T-Mobile checked their on-site generators and implemented the company's emergency plans.
We're in this for the long haul. I anticipate we'll be out there refueling generators for weeks.
Cell towers might not be fully operational in Western North Carolina for a while. But when Smathers finally connected to the internet, he did get one message from his provider.
I did receive a bill. Verizon Wireless did send me a cell phone bill by text a few days ago, which I thought was a nice touch. So again, if you can send me a bill, you can turn the cell phone on for myself and others.
I'm Zachary Turner in Charlotte.